From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
David Josephsberg has appeared in a variety of Broadway shows, including Spamalot, Beetlejuice, The Prom, Waitress, An Act of God, Honeymoon in Vegas, Motown, Wedding Singer, Les Miserables, and Grease, among many others.
Wow.
Yeah. He'll be in. Congratulations. It tires me out just reading it. I can't imagine doing it. So congrats.
Just means I'm old.
He'll be in town January 6th through 10 as Doc Brown in the touring company of Back to the Future musical. Welcome to Craft, David Josephsberg.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, most people probably have seen all or part of Back to the Future, the movie. So without giving away any surprises, plot points, what are some of the changes that were made as you transitioned to the musical?
We have Bob Gale, the creator of the whole Back to the Future franchise. So it is pretty close to the original, except Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox did not dance as much as we dance in this show.
Right. I don't think they sang as much.
Probably not as much singing.
Right. Yeah.
You still get the great Scots and the Rhodes. But we're going. We don't need Rhodes. But you get also Doc Brown singing a ballad called Dreamers, which is a song about what Doc Brown does, basically, you know, fail, 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 dream, succeed. You get all the old Earth Angel and the great songs that were in the film and the interstitial music, all that great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you get some new songs, some new dancing. The car still flies.
Excellent. And I'm going to ask about that because I want to know more about the car. Yeah. Yeah. How familiar were you with the film before you auditioned for the role? I assume you saw it?
Yes. As the elder of the company, I am 55, so I was right in the sweet spot. I was 15 mm-hmm. when the movie came out. One of my favorites, of course, one of everybody's favorites. Even our kids now. You know, I have two kids, and one of my kids is one of their favorite movies now, mm-hmm. too. So I had seen it at 15, and I was very excited. I always thought that someday, you know, I always wanted to be Marty McFly, right? Who didn't want to be Marty McFly? And then it just mm-hmm. took me another 40 years before I actually was Doc Brown. I'll take it.
I guess it really depends on how close you are with your mom about whether you want to be Marty McFly or not. So, you know, I'll just leave
that. I am close with my mom, but not Marty McFly close.
Christopher Lloyd gave an iconic portrayal of Dr. Emmett Brown. How did you go about making the character your own?
The thing that drew me mostly to this project, well, everything drew me to this project, but John Rando as a director is awesome. I mean, Bob Gale even allows. So you have Christopher Lloyd. You definitely take as much as you can from his iconic, brilliant performance. And then the director allows you to bring who you are into the piece because it can be scary, right? Jumping into trying to do this iconic role, but they really, really tailor it to... Because if you're going to do it hundreds and hundreds of times, you need to be having fun and bringing your own joy to it. So they really allow for that, and I'm super grateful.
Okay. I haven't seen the musical, and you mentioned that the DeLorean flies. So how much do you get to interact with what I think would be great props? You've got the DeLorean, you've got the clock tower, you've got all this fun stuff that looks like a lot of fun from watching the movies and things like that.
Oh, it's fun. It is supremely fun. The car, first of all, she's another co-star. My entrance, when you see the show, is I come in, the car comes, and I open up the DeLorean door, and I don't have to do anything. I just sit there, and the audience goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many other things. The clock tower is definitely one of my favorite moments because they're doing the clock tower while Marty's driving to get to the clock tower. And so we have a scene where the clock tower comes in, and I'm on the clock tower, and it switches back to Marty in the car and comes back to me. And no spoilers if I save the day or not, but when he's trying to connect the two pieces of the cord together and the music is playing from the movie, it's a spectacular moment. Everyone who sees it is always like, that's the moment.
What kind of questions did you have to field from your family and friends when they found out that you were doing this and they wanted background gossip or information as well? I mean, you must have gotten a lot of people saying, oh, I've always wondered this about that movie or things like that.
I guess most of the questions are about our production and how we do these things mm-hmm. on stage where they look magical and they want to know the ins and outs of how they make that happen.
Right.
I always tell them it's magic, of course.
Right. Stage, you can't give away any other. Excellent.
No.
Okay.
But about the movie? Like, what do you mean? What kind of questions?
if they're knowing that you're Doc Brown in the musical, and it makes them reflect on the movie and say, oh, this is an interesting thing about Doc Brown. You know, like, how did he and Marty know each other is one of the classic questions that nobody ever really answers. Because, you know, if you're a 17, 18 year old kid hanging out with a 50 some year old guy who's probably a little dangerous, you know, frankly, looking at the unshielded plutonium he uses to power the car. Not the person that I would say to my kids, you know, go learn science by hanging out with somebody who might well kill you.
Yes, I forgot. We do get that question often, like, why would they even be friends? Mm-hmm. They do ask about that. There's a lot of fan theories out there of, like, all the different reasons why. I don't know which one is the real one. I just bring to me that I'm like, here's my young friend here.
Okay. And the dog was Einstein, right? Is the dog still making an appearance?
No dog. It would be fun if we could have a dog on the road. That would be super fun.
I agree with taking dogs wherever you can. If you could go back in time, like Doc and Marty, where would you go? What would be your Back to the Future moment?
It's a good question. I've been asked it before, and I change it at different times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go back for sports in New York, because I'm from New York in 1969. But what if I could go back to the year zero, like the year one, see what was going back in when the Roman Empire was happening? I could go back there. That seems like it'd be fun. I mean, also, Bob Gale, what about Back to the Future 4, Roman Empire?
Okay. <I don't know. laughs> Or you could go back to the French Revolution. You had that role in Les Mis and try to be that role in real life.
That would be fun.
See how well it goes.
I need a pencil. That's going to be the answer that I give to other people. Yeah, that'd be great. I also really love the theme about, I would love to go back to see my parents in high school. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have to deal with the whole mom thing. I know that Bob Gale, when he created it, he found his dad's yearbook, and that's how this whole thing started. Can you imagine that?
When my dad died, we found his yearbook, and he was involved in all this stuff that I didn't know he was involved with, including Glee Club. I was always under the impression that he could not sing. I was like, wait, how did this happen? He never mentioned this. My final very important journalistic question is, how often when you're driving, say with other people in the car, do you accelerate to 88 miles an hour just to see, just to test it? You never know.
All the time. I mean, if you look at my Instagram, I've posted about it many times. Really? Because 88 now is everywhere. Whenever I see an 88, I can't stop saying, like, 88, don't drive 88. When my kids are driving, I got to give them the don't drive 88. Mm-hmm.
With this starring in this musical, it must be difficult advice to give to your kids when every night you're involved with people driving 88 miles an hour.
Wacky. And it's, they get freedom, free reign.
All right. Well, David Josephsberg, thank you very much for talking to me today. We are certainly looking forward to you being in town as a loyal Buckeye, because you mentioned that your son attends the Ohio State University.
Shout out, Cooper.
And we will see you there. If people can get their tickets, I noticed that it's a very hot ticket, so act quickly for that January 6th through 10th presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you in Columbus.
IO.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.